There's a power for good in the universe, and you can use it.
Every Sunday, we invite you to join us in listening to a series of inspirational programs featuring Dr. Ernest Holmes, noted author and spiritual leader in This Thing Called Life. Now it is my pleasure to present Dr. Ernest Holmes.
Thank you, Bill. Friends, when we are talking about this thing called life, we are talking about the power that makes everything go. We are talking about a power that is within you, around you, and through you, right now. A power that you can use for definite purposes, for better health, for more happiness, and for greater success. Now there is a definite way to use this power. That is what I am going to talk to you about today. How you can use this power to help yourself and others. Today I am going to talk about love and its importance in our lives. Our three greatest needs are first, to feel needed, wanted, and loved. Second, to feel that we belong to the universe in which we live. And third, to have something upon which to lavish our affection. It is now known that most unhappiness comes from a sense of being rejected, of not being wanted, needed, and loved. It is also known that a large percent of our physical troubles is a direct result of the emotional congestions that follow in the wake of a feeling that we don't belong to life. We call these things repressions, inner conflicts, frustrations. Sometimes we call them inferiority or superiority complexes. But all these terms really refer back to our three basic propositions. We are so constituted by this thing called life that we want to love and be loved. We want to sing and dance and be glad. We want to be friends and to have friends. Now you can't beat nature at her own game. At least no one has ever yet succeeded in doing it. We are born with an urge to express life. We are born with a desire to unite our living with others, to enjoy people and to live creatively. Seems as though something dynamic came with us when we were born. An impulse to enter into the joy of living, to give vent to those thoughts and feelings. Those emotional urges and impulses which every normal person has. Now you might ask, what has all this got to do with love? It has everything to do with love. For love is the givingness of the self, the imparting of the self to others, the projection of the self into the activities of life. Love is one of the supreme emotions in your life. Without it, everything is drab and meaningless. But love has needs of its own. It must be loved in return. You not only wish to love others, you also want them to love you. Otherwise, the circle isn't complete. When you do love others and they return your affection, you are happy. But if your love is rejected, then you feel isolated and alone, unhappy and depressed. A large part of our juvenile delinquency is the result of a lack of affection, cooperation, and understanding in the family life. Love really is the integrating factor of the family. The child must feel wanted and needed. He must feel that he is understood, that he is appreciated. He must feel the warmth of affection. If you were to trace the mental, the emotional, and the spiritual background of the average criminal, you would probably find that he was conditioned early in life to have a sense of rejection. And because of this, he feels isolated, separated, as though he were alone in the world. Therefore, he thinks he must build up an aggressiveness that fights everything down. One of two things generally happen to the child who has felt rejected. He either retires within himself and becomes antisocial, or in self-defense, He builds up an aggressiveness that is hard to govern. He is stubborn, obstinate, and willful. But if we were to examine more carefully, we might discover that he is merely building a wall around himself. We all have a need for each other. If you were to read the hundreds of books on these subjects that have been written the last 25 years and boil them down, I think this is what you would find. You are born of the creative urge of life to express itself. And when you entered this life as an infant, this urge was already there. You didn't put it there. It is an urge to live, to love, to create, to find happiness, to feel needed, and to cooperate with others, and have them cooperate with you. And when this doesn't happen, you feel frustrated and unhappy and alone. When we are unhappy, there are four adjustments that we must make in our mental and emotional lives. First adjustment is to the self, to try to find out, who am I? What am I? Do I make any sense? Am I worthwhile? Am I somebody in my own right? The next adjustment is to those immediately around us. And early in life, this means the family. What is their relationship to me? Am I part of the family? Am I wanted? Am I needed? Am I loved? Do I belong? The next adjustment is to society, the world in which we live. Is life for me or against me? Are people trying to tear me down or build me up? Can I trust them? Can I believe in their sincerity? Do I dare to have an affection for them? Do I dare express it? Or do I feel that I shall be rejected and laughed at? The next adjustment is to this thing called life. Have I a personal relationship to it? Or am I of no more account than a feather wafted downward from an eagle in its flight? Does the universe itself make sense? Is there a God? If so, does this God love me? And can I love this God in return? Do I feel at home in the universe? Can I have confidence? Can I have trust and faith? Is it safe for me to believe in God, in life, in people, and in myself? At least 75% of our chance to be physically well and mentally and emotionally happy and to live a successful life depends upon our making these adjustments. So we are dealing with something very vital, something that is a personal problem to each one of us, and something we all ought to know about. Let's start then with the first adjustment, which is to myself. What am I? Who am I? Why am I here? What shall I do with myself? What is this strange emotion I feel which makes me want to like people and to have them like me in return? Am I part of something bigger than I am? Or am I alone and buffeted by fate? There is but one answer to this. You belong to the universe in which you live. Power greater than you are has put you here. You can't fight it. You can't deny it. You can't get away from it. God wanted you and needed you, else you wouldn't be here. You can trust this thing called life. It is not only where you are, it is what you are. It is in as well as around you, and its whole impulsion is love. You see, the universe itself rests on the shoulders of love. Love is the lodestone of life. The very fact that when you were born, you reached out in trust to those around you is proof enough of this. Just accept, then, that no matter what your experience may have been up until now, the truth about you is that you were born of human parentage, but at the same time, that thing which really is you, that thing which came through this human parentage, is an original, creative, and wonderful thing. Yes, you are God's beloved son. You don't have to make this up. It isn't just an idle sentiment, and it isn't a platitude. It is real. It is the truth about you. So accept it and be glad. Now, the next proposition is that this is also true of everyone you will ever meet. Everyone has the same feeling that you have, the same desire, and the same need. No one can be happy until he has worked out a right relationship with this thing called life. Just make up your mind that you live and move and have your being in that which is the very spirit of life, whose whole impulsion is love, and whose whole desire is to give. But perhaps God, like man, also needs that you return to him this love that he has for you. For if it is true that in your human relationships that your love must be met by that which loves you in return, don't you think that the greater life, the life which has given you this life, must have the same desire? Of course it must. But you must learn to have confidence in life, to believe in it, to trust it. And you must come to feel that it returns that love and confidence, that as your love goes out to it, its love returns to you, but multiplied, just as it does when you love people. For love begets love, confidence inspires confidence, and faith is met with faith. Having come to the conclusion that you belong to the universe, that even God has need of you, and that love really is the wellspring of your life, learn to feel this about all people. For back of the mask which so many people wear, the attitude of coldness they assume, there is always that soft, tender thing in the strongest man as well as the gentlest woman. Reach back to it and unite with it. This is your adjustment to life. This alone can make you happy. And don't feel that in doing this, you will be a mere sentimentalist, that you will become weak or inefficient. Quite the reverse. It will make you self-reliant. It will give you confidence. And it will help you to get along with people. It is a sure guide to the only success that is worthwhile. Jesus said, "As I have loved you, love ye one another." I don't think we could call Jesus a weak character. The man who could perform miracles, the one who was able to resurrect himself and triumph over the grave, he whose power stilled the wind and the wave. Perhaps Jesus was the only really normal person who ever lived. What do you think? As I said earlier, there is a power greater than you are that you can use. You use this power through affirmative prayer. Prayer is your direct line of communion with God. It is through affirmative prayer that you clear the mind of negative thoughts, of doubts and fears. And this we must do if we are to be aware of the presence of God within and around us. Let us then take this thought as our prayer for today. If we love one another, God dwells in us, and his love is perfected in us. Let us join in affirming God's presence here and now. Let us shut every other thought out of the mind. As we listen confidently, peacefully, and quietly, I believe that God is love. I believe that love is at the center of everything. Therefore, I accept love as the healing power of my life. I permit love to reach out from me to everyone I meet. I believe that love is returned to me from every person I meet. I trust the guidance of love because I believe it is the power of good in the universe. I feel that love is flowing out through me to heal every situation I meet, to help everyone I contact. Love opens the door before me, makes perfect and plain and straight and glad my way. Love forgives everything. Love purifies everything. Love converts everything commonplace into that which is wonderful. Love converts weakness into strength, fear into faith. Love is the all-conquering power of spirit. As a child walks in confidence with its parent, so I walk in confidence with life. As a child trusts its parent, so I put my whole trust in that love which I feel to be everywhere present, within, around, and through me. Within, around, and through all people.